Roger and Liz spoke yesterday about work and it being a curse.
Or not.
Or not. And we are kind of continuing maybe along that conversation
Part B.
A little bit. And just thinking about our concept of work, thinking about the purpose of work we see in Scripture, its institution in the book of Genesis, and a shift maybe that takes place before, you know, the shift takes place after the fall of man as and as it relates to work and tilling the ground and all those different things. But then also, how do we apply what God's perspective or God's purpose for work was for humanity?
Yes.
And how do we see his perspective in the way that we function as human beings in our lives, as we work, as we provide and are responsible maybe, or earning our income in order to be good stewards of the things that God's given us, and to care and to have dominion over the things that God has given us dominion over. So today, that's our conversation. I'm sure we'll go lots of different places and
all
have different topics that we'll go through, but it's going to be a fun time. So Philippe, you want to kick us off with opening statement?
Yeah. I don't know if I want to kick something off, but I can start.
Start. Okay.
Because if I go kicking around, then we're going to be in trouble.
It's a football reference, okay?
Yeah.
Kickoff is
saying,
the beginning of the game.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, just saying.
Anyway. I think that's a soccer reference, too. Isn't that called a kickoff?
A kickoff. You guys call it a kickoff. We don't call it a kickoff. It's fine. It's not even soccer. You guys don't even know what you're talking about.
Football. Whichever football it is.
Yeah,
it
well,
it
the
starts
real,
with a kickoff.
There's
okay?
real football, and then there's the fake football. You know, I don't want to start like a
side note. Have you seen the commercials about the NFL being the new Gladiator, the new Coliseum?
That's such a joke.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
well, let me tell you why. Okay, I'm going to say something.
He's a gladiator, really?
Yeah, anyway, so I'm going to say something about football. I'm going to irritate every American who is a football fan. Well, you know what we're thinking, friends? I played rugby when I was in junior high.
Okay.
For us, you know, like football, you know, and rugby, they look the same, except the one wears pads and the one doesn't. So we say that rugby is football for real men. That's what we say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's painful. I know.
Gotcha.
Football. I know.
I mean, I don't take it.
I'm just saying.
It's a very popular sport.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's on the level of the Colosseum.
You've seen cauliflower, you know, when the MMA fighters have cauliflower ears, then our rugby players have the same. Tells you how rough it is.
That's,
Anyway, I don't think it's a curse.
I don't want to mess with any rugby players.
If we talk about work being a curse or not, you know, I would say football is a curse and rugby is a blessing.
So it's like, okay.
You're welcome.
Gotcha. Okay. Football's a curse.
I'm saying this because I'm talking to a sports fan and wearing a Fellowship of Christian Athletes t-shirt.
That's right.
Thinking, I got to rub. I'm gonna be under your skin.
Coming to a place.
Anyway,
you.
So that was a good intro. That was completely irrelevant to the topic.
And it was, but I feel like it was necessary.
It was necessary for me to say something about this anyway. So there's this joke, you know, about, you know, I don't know if you've seen this kid. He's a famous comedian, and he's thinking he's playing George Washington in this kid, and he's dreaming for. You've seen this one?
Yes.
Talk about football. What is it? Your football, you play with your hands, and the soldiers don't understand. And then there's no kicking. Well, there's kicking. And there's how many points? Well, sometimes one, sometimes three. So the whole thing is confusing for us. Anyway, so I'm not a kick off anything, but I'm going to start off.
Start off the conversation.
Well, start off the conversation.
Restart off the conversation.
So maybe a couple things about work. And I think it was apparently, you know, made very clear yesterday. I didn't have chance to listen to the episode, but you did as we were prepping today. There is a misconception about work being a curse, and it's clearly not a curse in the Bible in that way. Now, the way and how hard work has become, that's different.
Sure.
But the work in itself, I mean, we know that from a few verses in the Bible and from two things, maybe not to go back to what was it yesterday, but Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3, we see that God... the word work is used for God. God is working, you know, and then in verse 15, God has placed man in the garden to work it, to work the garden. Mm-hmm. So the concept of work and being busy and having things to do, you know, and I just, you know, is a very good concept in, you know, so it's not like we couldn't say, oh, we're in a fallen world, therefore work is cursed. It is a curse, but work is cursed, which is different than work being a curse, I think. So I think yesterday they made a good point. So the difference, I would say, between the wrong concept, oh my God, I'm, you know, work is a curse, or God gave us work and then he cursed it in some way, which is different in that sense. Because we are in a fallen world. We and I made that point many times to explain, you know, what the world is today. But then when we see, so I'm going to use some words that I read from Piper, which I think explains maybe John Piper. Mm-hmm. So it says, for him, which is, I agree with him, and that's what the poem was made yesterday, that work in itself is not a curse, but the three things he says, the futility of work is mm-hmm. a curse, mm-hmm. the burdensomeness of work is a curse, and the painfulness of work is a curse. Mm-hmm. Meaning that before, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, if we were still in the garden, there was no fall. And then there wouldn't be work. It wouldn't be work. You know. Yes. People say when you enjoy your work, you don't work a day in your life.
Yes.
That is exactly what happened with Adam and Eve. Yes. They worked and they didn't work a day in their lives because yeah. they enjoyed doing what God wanted them to do, and they worked in obedience in the perfect environment. But they had to pick up the fruits and maybe maintain some trees. And mm-hmm. but there was no sweat for in that sure. to use that.
Yeah.
And then the sweat comes in. You know, and we have a curse, and the curse is not on the work itself. It's God is going to make it harder. So it's painful for the woman to deliver a child, and it's painful for a man to work the earth and mm-hmm. and actually grow some time. Yeah. So they worked the garden in the garden, and they worked the garden outside the garden, except it was a perfect environment and it was a fallen world. So mm-hmm. because I think. We could, so just to start off the conversation, so we have to make that very clear. So God is not God is not cursing the work, but he made it difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, so there was not this easiness and joy maybe we got in the garden because of the curse. Now the question is, can I still find joy in work today? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit, right?
Yeah, and I think that is...
Did I kick it off properly
use the expression? Yes, great job. We have that comparison that we have made here between Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. Obviously, the fall happens in between what we were saying, the perfect environment of the Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. and then now we have the fallen world where they are no longer able to be in that Garden of Eden. Another comparison, another thing that is an aspect of this adjustment or this transition as it relates to our work is that in the Garden of Eden, God was providing everything that they needed for them. He was their resource. He was the person that they were going to for all of their needs, including their purpose and their identity and provision. And they are now outside of the Garden of Eden, and maybe there is a disruption in that connection between man and God, where now I am not looking at him in the same way, and now man is producing something in order to provide for himself mm-hmm. and in order to protect himself as mm-hmm. opposed to relying on God. So I think our concept of work in this way is, are we providing for ourselves or is God continuing to provide mm-hmm, for us? Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important distinction to make
Absolutely.
Because if I believe that God is providing for me, then what I do for work is God still providing for me, no matter what that is. Mm-hmm. But if I take what I do for work and I make that my provision for myself, then I remove God from that equation, and now it's put into place and has a value that mm-hmm. maybe is higher than it should have, mm-hmm. not only in providing for me and giving me the resources I need to live my life, but inevitably, maybe to even have it become my identity and who I am as a person, mm-hmm. that now I am, this is what I do, and this is the only thing I can do, and this is who I am, whether it's a lawyer or a doctor or a plumber, whatever the case may be, this is who I am, mm-hmm. and it's linked with what I do for work, because I've taken God's provision and I've now made it my provision for myself, and my identity is also coming into play in that arrangement now that has removed God from that equation. Mm-hmm. And that can be, obviously, it can create that concept of work being a curse, because if I lose, I'm a slave now to this because there's so much riding on this as opposed to God providing for me and yes. recognizing him as the ultimate provider and provision for me. And these opportunities that he gives me for work are ways mm-hmm. that he provides for me, and he allows me to enjoy those things and to glorify him in those things, as opposed to being a slave to whatever job that I hit, that I follow, or not having a job, I feel like I'm missing something. This is something that we talk about in biblical psychology class, and they talked about it yesterday a little bit, is that We have a hole in our heart. We have this thing that only God can fill, and we try to replace it with other things, a career or a job or what I do for work is an example of something that I try to use as a means for me to feel secure. If I have a good job, I feel secure because I can have the resources in order to live my life, and then I feel significant in that I'm doing something that makes a difference or something that is important in the social construct of wherever I am living in. But if those things are put, as I said at the beginning of what I started talking, if I put those things in a place in replacing God, my job, my work, whatever, then it will become a curse because I feel like everything that I'm doing in this job is going to impact the rest of my life. And if I lose that job or if I don't excel, if I don't meet the standards, then my whole life's going to fall apart. When if I have God as a provision, then I realize, okay, this is just a means to an end necessarily. Yeah. I'm trying to glorify God and trusting Him for those provisions so I can adjust in my life depending on whatever it is and whatever phase of life I'm in and all those things.
I mean, it's a great point. I want to come back to what you said about, you know, like, do I realize, okay, let's say I'm capable of doing a high qualified job, right? Am I still understanding that I am able to do anything because God provides for him? It's a conversation that I have sometimes. I think it's pride is a big issue for all of us. Like I think it's the monster sin. The monster sin, as we call it, you know, in that way. So, and it's interesting if you ask, I think I made that point earlier, but I want to make it again, you know, like if you ask people, you know, who lied? Yeah, well, of course I did. Who's, you know, who's proud? And nobody raises their hand. That's how proud we are, not even recognize. But the point being is, so like 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you have not received? And that fits well in the idea of, I think, you know, you've heard the expression, oh, I'm a self-made man. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Because you haven't done anything to have discipline. Mm. Like, what have you done from you that gave you the brain you have? Oh, I'm so proud. You know, I have 170 IQ. Okay, well, none of it is yours. Like, it really isn't. Yeah. So, and people say, well, you know, work hard in my life. But maybe you're wired to work hard.
Yeah.
Oh, I was not like that. I was big and, you know, overweight. Now I'm fit. Okay. So you're wired to be this way. There's nothing in us that would give us any reason to be proud of anything. So people are proud because they're rich or they're strong or they have a good job. None of this matters before God at all, because at the end of the day, what do you have that you have not received? You have some wisdom. You got it from God. You even if you're not a Christian, it's called common grace. Whatever smartness you have, whatever brain you got, whatever strength you have, it's a gift from God. So in that way, what we really mean is that I have to understand that work is not a curse. And if I'm blessed in making a contribution in that way, I cannot find any pride in that. I have to be humble before God, realizing that in this cursed environment and fallen environment, whatever I'm capable of doing is a gift from God, because whatever you have, what is it that you have that you haven't received? So being thankful that God would provide, you know, it sounds weird. Oh, well, you know, I make $1 million a year it would be weird for me to thank God for what he provides. No, it's actually great, because whatever you have, whether it's little or much, is a gift from God. So, yes, you can provide for your family, and thank God you can, because you wouldn't, you know, otherwise, if God has not equipped you for the capacity. So, yes, we're in a fallen world. Yes, work is not a curse, but yes, it's hard, and we have to make some effort, and that's called obedience.
Yeah, right? I think that what do I have that I haven't received can be taken two different ways.
Yes.
Right? The things that we've been talking about so far, and just the concept of work, there can be these generational or these conceptions that we bring with us from where we come from our upbringing, whatever the case is, where if you work hard, you'll be successful and things will work out. And then there's the other end of the spectrum where it doesn't matter how hard I work, I'm going to be in the situation I'm going to be regardless. So why work hard?
Yes.
You know, that idea. And I think like the idea of achieving something versus receiving something, I am working hard to achieve, to get to a certain standard, to get a promotion, to make more money, to have this thing, is something that we chase as a natural tendency for us as human beings, I think. Yeah. But there's also the idea, and the concept that I can not do anything because God's going to give me whatever I need anyway. So how do you think, maybe this is, yeah, how do you process those two ideas or worldviews or concepts within the framework of our life? Like, how do I know if I should go after something and work hard for something, or if I should let go, or not let go, but kind of have a attitude of rest or an attitude of God's going to provide? And how do I know when I'm like actually not glorifying God in this area versus, you know, either way? I can work hard and glorify God and honor him, but I can work hard and try to be glorifying myself and trying to provide for myself. In the same way, I can have rest and glorify God, but I can also have rest and maybe have this air of like laziness in a way that, oh, well, God's going to take care of me anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's kind of like something maybe in my own life, in my own concepts, like how do I navigate those different attitudes or those concepts as it relates to work, as it relates to the jobs that I do, but then also like the grand scheme of like what we've been called to do and our purpose as human beings on earth.
I mean, that's a loaded question because there is two extremes we want to avoid. One is, and then you see that in the book of James where Jamie is saying, you guys are saying, we're going to go to such and such city, we're going to go make some money and come back. And he says, no, you should say Lord willing. So like, we're going to work hard and make some money. And he says, no, you're not. You know, you have to. So we're looking, he's saying basically, don't be proud, look for God's will. On the other side of the spectrum, you have the idea, like if you're the one, the very defined scene in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, is the slothful.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, like, there's so many verses that are funny to me. Like, you know, sloth, you know, you put your hand into the dish and it's too much work to bring it back, so you don't eat. It's how. So there's two things. One is, I'm busy and I'm hardworking. I'm proud of myself and I'm making statements that doesn't include God in it. Mm. And the other one is, oh, I'm including God in it, but it's using it as an excuse. So the Bible does not encourage us. Like you say, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's simple, right? So that's very understandable. So now how hard are we working? How hard are we pursuing? I think it's, for me, it is a good question and it's also a non-issue at the same time because something like if it's on my heart to do a good job, let's say you have, you know, you're an executive in a company, and you're doing a good job and you end up being promoted. But at the end of the day, you're satisfied with what God has for you, but you ended up being actually at the top of the company and making good money and having, that's great. That's a blessing. We know that that's what it is. I'm a lawyer maybe, and I end up being a partner in the firm, which is the goal of every lawyer when they come in, but at the end of the day, I just wanted to glorify God. That's also a great blessing, a blessing in that way. But then the point is, as Christian, I think it's we made that point about the culture last week, creeping into the church. You know, like there's some things we don't want to, but I think the idea of being hardworking is a good concept in the culture, but it's not necessarily a good concept in the church. What I'm saying by that is hardworking cannot be my identity.
Yeah.
Because that's also me. I'm a man. I'm working hard and with my hands. You know, like, and we're proud of things we're doing. And God says, well, not, you know, again, 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you have not received? And then the mistake we made, we take this into the ministry, right? Whatever ministry we have. And we want to be good stewards of the time we have. We want to be serving. We want to be able to do the second mile. That means maybe work extra when it's needed, when there's a request, when there's something that God wants us to do. But if I define my spirituality based on how busy I am in my schedule, then I'm doing something wrong. So that's, for me, that's one way to see it as a balance. As a balance is, of course, like the Bible clearly tells me, if I don't work, I don't eat. So I got to get up and you know, I'm not going to sit on the couch hoping somebody's going to knock on my door bringing me some food.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's not going to work. On the other hand, do I want to define myself as an identity of being hardworking just because it's what's in the culture? I don't think so. What I want to be known as is someone who obeys God and walks in the Spirit. And also doing God's will. And sometimes I'm going to be busy and sometimes I won't be as busy. That's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah, so. Thank you for that answer. Yeah. It's really helpful. I mean, for me personally, and then just in these concepts and these ideas, like I said, the spectrum that we have. And I think one thing that I was thinking of in studying and thinking about this topic of work in general is something that we have to learn and have to grow in is like, what is my purpose in my work? Am I living to work or am I working to live?
Yes.
Like, is my job the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing? Is like, is it the purpose of my life or is it giving me the resources in order to do the things that God wants me to do? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? And maybe we can have those lines blur a little bit in our life where, okay, in order to do this thing, I need to have resources, I need to have money, and then and then I can serve God. And this has been a concept in my life for a long time where it's like a balancing act or a tension in your life of, okay, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I have three kids, I need to provide for my family, I need to be a responsible husband and father, so I'm going to have this job, and I'm going to work this job, and I'm going to be consistent, and I'm going to work hard and do the best that I can to make the most money that I can, work as little time as I can to make the most money so that I can live my life, whether it's as a husband or a father or a ministry and whatever the case is. And there's always been that little bit of tension in my life of like, okay, what's the next opportunity that can make more money in order to work less, in order to do this thing? And like, we can have this concept of what our job is and what our job is meant to be and how it can be a provision for us. And like I said before, of this me providing for myself in a way, and we can miss like the provision that God has for us. And honestly, it's been like this tension has been so real, like in over the last year, it's been like, okay, well, if God's the great provider, why am I not trusting him with the provision in my life and in my family? And it's like, okay, well, maybe I need to do that. So that's like kind of my shirt is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes shirt, which is a faith adventure that my family and I are going on in order to see, okay, Lord, maybe it's time to get rid of that tension and to just trust you with the provision that you have for us. And maybe my work will look differently than it will in the concept that I had of like, okay, this is the only way that this can happen. This is what it means to work. This is the purpose of work in my life and how different it can be for different people in their different walks of life. Some people are more entrepreneurial in their endeavors in order to, their work looks a lot different than somebody else's work. Some have their work be centered around helping people, whether it's a nurse or a doctor or whatever the case is. And other people, it's just, I want to make as much money in as short amount of time as possible. And that's what my job is. That's what my work is. So I think this concept, this breaking of the concepts or understanding the concepts we have around work are important, or just identifying those things. And like I said, in my life, I realized like, why am I limiting what God can do to me doing this thing when he can create the entire universe? Can he not provide for the sparrows? Can he not provide for me and my family in this adventure with Fellowship of Christian Athletes? And I think one, we recognize those concepts where we can see those different things creeping in and impacting our view of God's provision in my life. And we put our work or our view of work in a place where it doesn't belong, our concept of what it means. Am I living to work or am I working so that I can live? And when I make that shift of like, okay, now I'm no longer a slave to my job or a slave to this company or to this position that I'm in, maybe I can enjoy those opportunities that God gives me and I can use the gifts that he's given me and not be hindered by narrowing my focus to, okay, this is what I got to do and that's all I can do and God can't do anything else. And I don't know if anybody else struggles with that. I'm sure there are some with like the limitation of me being kind of stuck in a place and stuck with a concept. And that's something that's been an amazing blessing for me, is to kind of like break that box of what I think is possible and allowing God to make opportunity be as big as he is and trusting him in it. And he opens the door, I walk through it. And if he closes the door, then I look for the next door that he has that's open. And sometimes that can be difficult for us when we're kind of so stuck on like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what my job is supposed to be. This is where I can go and what I can do and limit what God is able to do. And not only I start limiting myself and blame God for my own limits on my life. Like, that's what I've realized in my life. Okay, I have a box. God, won't you let me do this? Won't you let me do that? I can't do this because of this, this, or that. And like, God, come on. And then I realize, wait, God showed me, like, wait, I'm not the one with the box, Paul. Yeah. You're the one who has put a box around what's possible, and you're blaming me for it. I was like, okay, God, take it away, and let's see what he can do. And that's, I think, a shift in our concept of our work and what our purpose is here. Like, everything we do is to the glory. Whatever we do in Colossians 3:17, in whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Yeah. So, like, in my work, am I doing it to the glory of God, or am I doing it in order to just pay the bills? And I'm not saying to not be responsible and not to be a good steward, but have those ideas, have that realization, or have that conceptualization of, like, what is my job? What's the purpose of my job? Why am I here? I'm here to glorify God. I'm here to honor him and glorify him in everything that I do. And if I'm not doing that in my work, then maybe I need to adjust my perspective on my work, or maybe I need a change of scenery or whatever the case is, so that I can be glorifying him and not being a slave to that thing, but being a slave to righteousness, as we see in Romans chapter 6.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to go a little further in Colossians chapter 3. You have verse 23, right? So whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. And I think that's a big one also when it comes down to work. So, I mean, just for my own thinking, I'm differentiating between maybe the full-time work in ministry and the full-time work outside of ministry, which one is a calling and the one you could be calling a vocation, right? Let's put it this way, just for the sake of the conversation.
Yes.
So a calling, and they're both a calling. Like, if you call it full-time in ministry, if you go full-time in working, whatever that means, you're called by God and you live in obedience.
Yeah.
I don't think being a full-time pastor is better than being a full-time plumber.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're a full-time pastor, you should be a plumber, you're not God's will. If you're a full-time plumber, you should be a pastor, you're not God's will. So, but if you are a full-time plumber and you're called to be one, then you're in God's will.
Yeah.
So, but whatever we do, do it heartily, like unto the Lord.
Yeah.
So I'm changing a pipe. I can do this to the glory of God. That's amazing.
Yes.
I'm plugging an outlet. Mm-hmm. I'm constructing a building. I'm defending a criminal case in the court. I'm judging a criminal case in the court. Mm-hmm. I'm directing traffic, you know, after an accident. Mm-hmm. I'm an MEMT, you know, doing CPR on a victim. All this can be done to the glory of God. Mm. Yeah, but I don't see, you know, like, I would love to be, you know, okay, well, slow down. You know, the idea is, like, there's no curse in all of that. Hmm. It's how hard it is. Like, of course, you wouldn't have to do CPR in the Garden of Eden because there wouldn't be a need for CPR. There was no death. Hmm. So that's the curse. But then the redemption of being who we are in Christ and showing it in the world and using my vocation, you know, like my job, you know, as a way to minister to people, that's amazing, you know, because, you know, 1 Peter 3:15, Paul is writing to Peter is writing to Christians who are going through persecution. He says, well, be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you. Mm-hmm. That means that you don't say anything, but when they see the hope in you that shouldn't be there, then you're going to be, and then you answer, of course, with an attitude of meekness and respect. But that's exactly what we're talking about, you know. Mm-hmm. So work can be, just like everything else, work can be redeemed by Christ. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, it has been, because we can work the works that God has prepared for us in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
God has redeemed the curse. God has redeemed our life. God has redeemed the earth. God will redeem the earth. There will be a new earth. And in the meantime, God is redeeming everything else. He redeems relationships. He redeems people who, you know, who've been through trials. There's not one tear that we have that God hasn't bottled up in one way, right? So, so can this apply to work? Absolutely. He does that. So God has work that he's prepared for us. And we always think, well, that's ministry. I think it's everything. Mm-hmm. God wants you to be a witness in your factory. God wants you to be a witness as a bus driver. God wants you to be a witness as whatever your job is. Mm-hmm. And that's God redeeming this with you. Mm-hmm. So the curse is no longer an issue for me. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, you know, yeah, of course, like, maybe I would want to do something different. So I don't have the dream job, or I didn't think my life would, you know, I have a degree, I didn't find a job in my area of expertise. Now I'm doing some menial job, quote unquote. That's I call menial. And God is saying, well, I got you exactly where I want it.
Yeah.
That's also something I could look at and say, maybe God is blessing me. He wants me into this place. And it's hard for us to see that when we don't get what we want. It's hard for us to see that it could be and it can be and it is God's perfect will.
Yeah.
Right?
I think one thing that that came to mind as you were talking about Colossians 3 and the later verses in 23 and 24. Verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And I just have noticed, or I kind of had some notes about just like different concepts or different ways that we can view work.
Yeah.
You know, generationally, there can be differences in some of the things that you were just talking about, where do I love my job?
Yeah.
Do I see the purpose behind it? Do I give my job a chance before I quit, or whatever the case is? You know, my parents and the generation before me, maybe some older individuals, maybe people would work at the same job for 30, 40, 50 years, and there's no way that they all loved their job that entire time.
Yeah.
And I think like there is something in that generation or something within their concept of what work is, that this is what I am doing and I'm going to keep doing it because I know how to do it and I keep doing it. And then we have like this younger, you know, maybe my age or younger, where people are like, I'm on a job for a week and like this isn't it. I need to move on to a different job or another week. And people have, you know, whatever, 3, 4, 5 jobs within a 2-year span. So we can see the disparity in those two ideas of what it means to work. Like, okay, I'm just going to stay the course. I have a job. I'm grateful for my job and I want to just keep going, which can be great, but also can be, I get to the end of my life and I feel like I have hated my life for all this time because I've worked at something I've hated, in hopes that whatever, I retire and I can enjoy my life after that, which some people don't even make it that far, or they get to retirement and they realize, wait, this is what I worked for 50 years for, is for me to, you know, have this, you know, go to Florida and retire, whatever the case is. And then, like I said, you have the other, maybe it's not just, there's not only two options, but these are just the ones that I was seeing, like one where I am never satisfied with any job that I ever have. So I'm always moving and shifting and trying to find the appropriate, I'm trying to find one where I love it and I care about it. And like, one is like, I am just happy to have my job. I'm happy to be working. I'm happy to have the resources that I need to provide, or, you know, at least some resources. And the other is like, I deserve way, way more, without any type of, you know, skin in the game, so to speak, right? So I think like that is something that I've been thinking about as it relates to our conversation, just like, okay, what is work to me? Is it something that is providing for me? Is it something that's supposed to make me feel good about myself? Is it something that I'm supposed to love? And is it something that I can, you know, push through in order to see, like, there's going to be difficulties and there's going to be struggles. There's going to be things about the jobs that I have or the work that I do that can be for my good. And it's not always going to just be easy as I'm doing my job and as I'm working. And I think, like, what you were saying in Ephesians chapter 2, talking about, like, God preparing. Yeah, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I was like thinking of the artists in the book of Exodus for the tabernacle, like how Moses went up the mountain and he's speaking to God, and God had already chosen the artists that they didn't know necessarily that God had chosen them, but they had been prepared beforehand that this is what they would do and this would glorify God. They had been trained and they had worked in this artistic and given this ability by God, maybe, or they had been given this ability by God, and they're doing this work and then it's honoring and glorifying God. And they're like, God prepared this way and they are living into the opportunities that God has given them. And I think if we can have this concept of our work as well, that maybe God is preparing me now for something that I will live into later. And I can kind of get in my own way or get in God's way in one sense. Obviously, God is providential and sovereign, and he has a purpose and a plan, obviously, and he works all things together. But like my job, the things that I'm going through now could be preparing me for something in the future mm-hmm. that God is laying the groundwork for so that I can live into that opportunity down the line. And I don't see it right now as a young person, like, how is this going to help me right now? I want to make as much money as I can right mm-hmm. now. Like, okay, but maybe you can learn the fundamental things of relying on God, having him be your provision mm-hmm. and learning whatever skills or the things that you can apply for you to live into the opportunities that he gives you later and have those jobs or the work that I'm doing now be for his glory now and then for a greater glory for him later on as we live into this opportunity. Just like for in Exodus 31, for Bezalel and Aholiab, the artist who formed and created all the furniture and yep. designed everything for the temple. Like, God prepared them and they lived into that. And it wasn't necessarily he gave them a blueprint for this is what's going to happen, but God made it possible for them to glorify him in what they did. And I feel like our work can be that same way.
Yes.
Right? They weren't trying to meet some sort of standard that he gave them. They were just doing what they felt God called them to do, mm-hmm. which is what you were already saying. Like, it's a calling and I can be called to do many different things. Mm-hmm. And if I sense God's calling, I can live into that and glorify him in that. And it's maybe in some cases may not be a forever thing. It will be something for a season. And then mm-hmm. God will just show something to us as we are living into that opportunity to glorify him.
Yeah. And I think it relates to the idea, like, okay, if I'm looking for fulfillment in my work or in my ministry for that matter, then I'm bound to be, what's the word?
Disappointed?
Disappointed, yes. I'm bound to be disappointed because at some point, some things won't work. And sometimes, even if you feel fulfilled in something, you get some hard days, you know, with yourself, other people, the job itself, the ministry, whatever. And you know, it's interesting that people, you know, when I talk to young people that want to be, you know, like they are contemplating a calling in ministry, and they say, well, you know, we talk about leadership, and they say, well, it's a great thing. The Bible says, you know, if those want to aspire to be an elder or bishop, they're hoping for a great thing, except that you have to, you know, like I give my experience, you know, to discussing the young people and, you know, and also the current director of the college. It says, you know, when I've been the director for the college for 7 years, and I ask the question that how many times do you think I've been encouraged by students came to me out of the blue and told me that I did a great job. You know, like, we're so thankful, you know. And I just, mother, I remember every instance because of 3 in 7 years. Wow. It's not much, you know. So mm-hmm. so if you think this is going to be fulfilling, you know, like, it's not. You have to find your joy in God and you know. But now, if of course, on the other hand, to be balanced, you know, how many times do you think people came to me and told me that I could do a better job, you know, about 3 times, you know, mm-hmm. per week, which is not the same ratio because everybody has an opinion. So if I'm looking for validation or fulfillment in my job or my ministry, then I'm you know, I'm going to get a rude awakening because that's mm-hmm. not happening. So if I get a job and I'm not fulfilled, I'm going to find another job. I get it. Do I want to go miserable every day because I'm abused in my work environment? No, of course not. But on the other hand, if I think I can find joy in work, that is a thing that is related now to using the word, you know, futility, burdensomeness, and painfulness, God can redeem things, but that's not where I find my joy. I find my joy in him. So serving him, whether it's full-time in ministry or full-time in my vocation, then my goal is to serve him and represent him, you know, in my environment. But and that's how we redeem a cursed, you know, environment into a blessed environment because God is with us. And it leads me to Matthew 11. You know, we have this verse 20 to 30 where, you know, where he says, come to me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's how we go through life. You know, for all you work and labor and heavy laden, if I walk with God, if I'm yoked with Christ, then whatever I do, ministry, vocation, whatever that is, then I don't have to live in the curse anymore. I don't have to live in the curse. We are in the fallen world. There's no question about it. But I'm not influenced by the world or influenced by the curse the same way. Because even if my work is futile, you know, because it's, you know, what we do is cursed in that way, there's a futility with it, I can find redemption in the work that I do in Christ, because this is not futile. So now my yoke is becoming easy, and then I don't see my work as a curse. And like everything else in my life, it can be redeemed by Christ, right?
Yeah, that's really, yeah, his yoke is easy and his burden is light, right? Yeah. And we are looking to him as our provision. We're looking to him as our resource. We are, yeah, what you said about having validation or feeling like I've done something or have some sort of proof that I am doing what's right, or somebody's noticing that I'm doing or having some sort of thing. We were reading that in Colossians 3 also. It was like the inheritance is with the Lord in some cases. Sometimes I'm not going to get the promotion. Sometimes I'm not going to get the recognition that maybe I deserve. Sometimes I'm not going to have that raise or whatever the case is. But is that what I'm working for, or am I working for before the Lord in every aspect of my life? I am doing this thing as unto the Lord, and that's my reference point. And if I'm rewarded as a result of it, you know, that's a blessing that also comes from the Lord, not from me. Yeah. So, because we can get mixed up with that concept. But at the end of that, of Ecclesiastes, where, you know, we talked about futility in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, right? I work hard. I've done all these things. I've achieved all these things, and life is vanity, and vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But the end of this, of the book of Ecclesiastes, talks about like our purpose. In verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 12 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." Like, I'm doing everything I'm doing because of a respect and an honor towards the Lord. Yeah. And then, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." All of the work that I am doing in my life is going before the Lord. And am I doing it with honor and glory and recognition of who he is as the provider, as a creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who lets rain fall on the just and the unjust? And how does that impact the way that I view my work? Does it give me, it gives me the peace and gives me the joy in my work? And maybe something that I hated to do before, now I have a new perspective of like, this is something that I love to do. And we didn't really talk about it a lot, but like the idea of rest after you've worked hard, you know, after I've gloried and honored the Lord, that God worked, he spoke into existence the universe, but then he rested on the on the seventh day. And I think in one sense, we want the rest without the work. We want to live like we're retired without working for that retirement. Like, and that can be a concept that I think is very popular now. I want to work hard so I can play hard, or I want to work so that I can relax.
Yeah.
But the reality is, we were like, it's actually something God's put in us to tend and keep. The garden was what we were designed for in the Garden of Eden. And I think in our lives, we are not meant to just sit around and do nothing.
Yeah.
We're not meant, yes, we can enjoy different things, but we're not meant to do nothing. God has given us this desire to honor and glorify him with whatever it is that we do. But that does imply that we are doing something, whether it's a work, but it's not so much a burden or a curse, but something that I'm doing as a way to honor and glorify God. And that gives me joy, because it's not burdensome. It's not a yoke that is heavy, but a yoke that is light, because it's his yoke that he's given us.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Well,
all right, that's it.
Thanks for joining us today. Make sure you check out the rest of the episodes this week as we continue to talk about the Christian life and work. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, all the different places. Have a great day.